Well, this is our third week on getting to know the Holy Spirit. And I know that sometimes we can be reserved with the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times many of us have heard either things said about the Holy Spirit or things that have been taught about the Holy Spirit that are not wrong. Sometimes we just have a certain reservation about the Holy Spirit. We're just not as comfortable with the Holy Spirit as we are with the Father and with the Son. But let me ask you to ask yourself a few questions as we get ready for this, the third week. And I thought I'd be done in 3 weeks, but we'll pick this up when we get back from Israel. But ask yourself these two questions. Here's the first question. Do I want to know the Holy Spirit better? And the second thing is, do I have reservations? And as you're thinking about those things, let me ask you to think about this as well. Do you want to see the supernatural in your life? Do you want to see the supernatural deliverances? Do you want to see supernatural deliverances in the forms of healing? Do you want to see deliverances coming to your life in the form of your finances, in the form of your emotions, in the form of your job, your work, your life, your marriage, your family, all of these things? Do you want to see supernatural deliverances? Do you want to, when you pray, know and expect that you're going to see results in your life when you pray for yourself and when you pray for others? I mean, if we want to see the power of heaven working in our lives, if that's what we desire, then that answers our question. We do want to know the Holy Spirit better, because the Holy Spirit is the vehicle by which we see all of these supernatural things taking place in our lives. It's through Him. We can't be reserved in Him if we want to see the full promises of Jesus Christ evidenced and lived out in our lives. So let's look at what we've looked at and learned so far. We've learned that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that we cannot fully know God until we know Him in entirety, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We also know that the Holy Spirit is the vehicle by which the Lord Himself, the Holy Spirit is the vehicle by which God abides and dwells in you. And He's also the vehicle by which we abide and dwell in Him, where we have our presence in the spiritual realm. I mean, it is humbling for us to think about that. And I challenge you, as you go through this week, to think about this, because it's a beyond belief reality that God of all, the Creator of all things, chooses and does dwell and live inside of us. It's a beyond belief reality, but it is reality for us as believers. We learned last week that just as sap flows through a tree, bringing it strength and life, so the Holy Spirit flows through us, bringing us His strength and His power in our lives. And a tree cannot survive without sap flowing through it. We cannot live victorious and overcoming lives without the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. We also expanded that point a little bit, and we looked at the picture that Jesus was showing us in John chapter 15. When Jesus said in that story, He is the vine. The Father is the vine dresser. We are the branches. And we learned something that still is astounding to me, because it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works. But we learned that God Himself is the one that removes those constrictions of the flow of the Holy Spirit through us. When you feel like you're powerless and you feel like you don't have the strength, the good news is all you have to do is look to Him and trust Him. He, the whole power of the Holy Spirit, will remove those constrictions so the power of the Holy Spirit can flow through you. I mean, only God could do that. It's amazing. And then we also, last week, we just began to look at Jesus' own description of the Holy Spirit. His own description from John chapter 14, verse number 26. And what we saw there was that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Specifically, we looked at last week, that the Holy Spirit will be the one that personally teaches you and gives you insight, will personally teach you the truths of the Word of God every time you pick up the Word of God. And this should be our expectation. So that's what we've been through so far. I gave you 2 weeks' worth of information all in about 5 minutes. So today, I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know what? We're going to spend the rest of our lives getting to know the Holy Spirit. I mean, for as long as we live, if Don and I live to be 95 years old, I know, if we live to be 95 years old, we will continually be getting to know the Holy Spirit more and more. But what we see in these verses, and I've been looking at, and I'll look again today at some specific verses in John. What we're seeing in these verses in John, we're seeing Jesus as he is introducing the Holy Spirit to his disciples, and in effect, making the introduction of the Holy Spirit to you and I as well. Now, that kind of caught my attention. I thought about that this week. I thought, you know, I just wonder about the art of introduction. And there's actually a website. It's called Etiquette International. And in this website, it talks about the art of making an introduction. And there's a lot of specifics, like how you make an introduction. You make the one, you know, there's a certain way that you make sure that you introduce the one who is the greater first to the other one. But here's the key that I thought. It says in Etiquette International, as far as introductions, that as you make an introduction, you need to include a brief but meaningful explanation, brief and meaningful piece of information, vital information, that explains the uniqueness and the importance of the one that you are introducing. And everything we've looked at so far, and the verses we're going to look at today, this is what Jesus is doing. He's making an introduction. Jesus is giving us meaningful information about the importance of knowing the Holy Spirit. So this is what we're looking at as we move forward. So let's pick it up where we left off last week. We were looking at John chapter 14, verse number 26. Now, there's a lot of verses in John that deal with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to have time in the next couple of weeks to look through all of them. But read through John. I mean, you can read through all of the Gospels. But John just really seems to focus on Jesus making sure the disciples and you and I understand who the Holy Spirit is. So John 14, 26. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So in addition to the Holy Spirit being the one that teaches us, in addition to the Holy Spirit being the one that personally reveals the truths of the Word of God to you, in addition to that, this verse is also saying that the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of the things that he's already taught you. It's imperative for us to get the Word into our lives. You know, as much as we can, it's good to, you know, the more time you spend in the Word, the more memorization that just takes place. You don't try to memorize, it just kind of happens. But sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to memorize the Word of God. Take the pressure off. If you just make sure that you're getting the Word in you, if you spend time in your own personal day, aside from Sundays here, in the Word of God, you're getting the Word of God in you. And this verse is telling us that it's the job of the Holy Spirit to give you insights and to teach you things that only he can know and only he can teach you. And then you can put it in your mind, but he's going to remind you of it. He will bring it back to your remembrance. It's important for us to know those things and to get the Word in. But you know what? Sometimes we put so much pressure on memorization. You know, you can memorize the Word and still not know it. I mean, if you're not looking for the Holy Spirit to be the one that teaches you, you can memorize the Word and still not know it. I was on a mission trip 26 years ago, and one of the pastors that I was with, he knew the Word of God. He had a big chunk of the Old Testament memorized. He essentially had the entire New Testament put to memory. We would sit there in the dark at night, because three of us were in the same room, and two of us would just give him a New Testament book and chapter. And he would start in verse 1, and he would recite the entire chapter. It was amazing. We did this night after night. He knew the Word of God. He had it memorized. Months later, when we were back in the States, I went to a place. I went out of town to hear him speak because he was speaking somewhere. He had the Word incorporated in what he was teaching. But there was not Holy Spirit knowledge in it. It was 26 years ago. How many messages do you remember that you heard 26 years ago? This stuck in my mind because this man knew the Word of God. He had it memorized. But I remember the message. The message that he gave was essentially that God today is still a God of wrath. He's not a God of love. And he went through and he showed these different verses to prove it. And I remember sitting there thinking, I started taking notes and I thought, I'm not taking any more notes on this. I don't want to be thinking this way. So this man, you can memorize the Word, but it's not the same thing as knowing it. This is why we have to be looking. This is why we need to know the Holy Spirit and to know him more and more every single day of our lives. The more we know him, the more we're going to know and understand the Word. We just have to be diligent to read the Word. We have to have an expectation that when we read the Word, the Holy Spirit will, in fact, show you things that no man could ever show you. Show you things that are personal to you. We have that expectation. And here's what happens. When you're reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit shows you something you've never seen before, no one's taught you, but boom, it's that light bulb that goes on spiritually. That sticks in your mind. That's how you remember those things. When the Holy Spirit shows you something, you won't forget those things. The promise is the Holy Spirit will teach you the things of the Word of God. And then He will remind you of those things so you can recall them when you need them. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying don't memorize the Word. Keep getting the Word in it. But don't put pressure on yourself to memorize the Word, because you can either trust in your memory or you can trust in the Holy Spirit's memory. Because He said He will bring those things back to your remembrance when you need to recall them. So who knows the Holy Spirit? And who can better describe the Holy Spirit to us than Jesus Himself? So when we're looking at John chapter 14 and some of these other verses that we're looking at, we're looking at John chapter 14, verse number 26, we're getting a description. Let me think about this. We're getting a description of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, by Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And Jesus is teaching us about the Holy Spirit while Jesus is still in this body, in this flesh, with us, flesh and blood, just like us, so it's easier for us to understand it. It's like Jesus is teaching us about the Holy Spirit man to man, and I'm talking about that in a gender-inclusive way. It's man, flesh, teaching you and I, man, flesh, about who the Holy Spirit is. Who knows the Holy Spirit better than Jesus Christ? And He's the one making this introduction to us. Now let's look at John chapter 14, verse number 26 again, but this time I'm going to look at it from the Amplified Bible. So in the Amplified it says this, "But the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, in My place, to represent Me and act on My behalf, He will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you." That's pretty strong. All right, so think about this. The Holy Spirit is our Comforter. He's our Counselor. He's our Intercessor. He's our Helper. He's our Advocate. He's our Strengthener. I mean, ask yourself as you're going through life, this past week, was there ever a time in this past week that you felt like you needed someone, you wanted someone to be there to comfort you? I mean, is there a time in your life when you feel like, I do need someone to be an intercessor on my behalf? Is there a time that you feel like, I need somebody to be a counselor? I need somebody to show me the direction to go because I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do you feel like in your life you need someone to give you counsel, to give you good direction in your life? Do you feel like there's a time in your life when you need someone to be there to help you, when you know in your own strength you don't have what it takes to get through, and I want someone who loves me to help me through? Do you have a time in your life when you need someone to be an advocate, to go before your boss on your behalf, or to go before your spouse if you're having trouble, or your children's if the relationship isn't right? Do you need someone that can go before you and be an advocate? Do you need someone who can just strengthen you in life, because life by itself can just wear us down in the natural? Do you feel like you need any of those things in life? Because this is what's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He is all of these things. The person of the Holy Spirit is in you, dwelling within you, abiding within you. He is this person that's in us, being all of these things for us. He is going before us in all things. Can you see why it's important for us to get to know the Holy Spirit better? Because we all need those things. And you know what? As much as I love Donna, and as much as Donna meets a lot of these needs for me, she can't possibly meet them all. And I can't put that pressure on her. You know, I can ask Donna for her opinion on stuff, and she'll always give me wisdom, and she'll always seek the Holy Spirit. But I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. I need to put my confidence and my trust in Him first and foremost. This is what is in you. All of these characteristics that we need, this is what dwells in us. It's in us every single day. Now, you thought I forgot that last word, didn't you? You thought I forgot standby. I set that one aside because I want to focus on that one for just a couple of minutes. Because it says finally that he will be our standby. You don't do anything alone in this life. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, he's going through it with you. When you go through a struggle, when you go through hard times, when you go through difficulties in life, you want to know that somebody who loves you and wants you to succeed is going through it with you. And that, again, that's the joy that I have with Donna. I know that no matter what I'm going through, I've got somebody that loves me and wants me to succeed. Well, even greater than that, this is the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He's going through whatever you're going through with you. And he wants you to succeed. This is part of the role of the Holy Spirit that's in us. If you were here a few months ago, you may remember Mia and Annie. Hi, girls. You may remember they stood up here on this platform and they quoted to you by memory. That's a hard, first of all, it's a hard thing to do. Second of all, it's a hard thing to do when you're looking in people's faces. They quoted from memory 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They stood here and they quoted that. By the way, girls, that was really cool. Aunt Don and I are still very proud of you for doing that. That was really good. But did you guys notice, if you were here, did you notice that Mom and Dad were sitting in the front row? Because the girls, as they were going through that hard time, because that'd be stressful for us, wouldn't it? But Mom and Dad are sitting in the front row because the girls could draw strength, they could draw comfort. They were supported by the presence of Mom and Dad being there in the front row. They could look into the eyes of those who loved them and desperately wanted them to succeed. And from that, they could draw confidence and they could draw strength because they were strengthened and supported by the presence of Mom and Dad being there with them. This is what we have in the Holy Spirit. This is what we have. We think of the Holy Spirit as being distant and unknowable. No, he's the opposite. He's personally involved in us. He's dwelling within us. He is your standby. Whatever we're going through in life, he is standing by within you, experiencing that with you, with eyes of love and wanting to see you succeed. I remember just recently, just this week in fact, I was reading a story about a pastor who back at 9/11 in New York when the towers fell, for weeks afterwards, he would go to that site and he would be there just for the purpose of comforting family members who would come to that site because they had suffered losses. And he was interviewed on TV and the interviewer asked him and said, "What kind of words of comfort do you give to these families that are grieving?" His answer was, none. He said, "This is a ministry of presence. I'm with them. I'm just there to hold them. I'm there to cry with them. I'm there to share their grief with them. It's a ministry of presence." This is the heart of Jesus. I mean, this is what Jesus is for you and I. It's a ministry of presence. He has a ministry of presence with you and in you, no matter what you're going through. Again, we think of God as being so big that he can't be personally involved in our lives, that he's beyond all of that. Well, in the same way that our hearts hurt when those we love hurt, that's Jesus' heart for you. And he is seeing what you're seeing. He's feeling as you're feeling. He is present, experiencing what you experience because he is present with you in the form of the Holy Spirit. Again, there's nothing that you go through in this life that you go through by yourself. It's the ministry of presence, the presence of God himself. Again, that's why I say this is a reality that's beyond belief. God himself dwelling inside of us. All right, so we spent a lot of time looking at John 14, 26. Let's go back 10 verses. Look at John chapter 14, verse number 16. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible as well. "And I will be the Father, And he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain in you forever. Again, this is Jesus making the introduction to the disciples. When he's saying this, the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet, because Jesus hadn't yet given his life as a sacrifice and rose again and been seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making the introduction and saying that the Holy Spirit is coming. And when he comes, he will dwell in you forever. Now, we saw from John chapter 14, 26, it said to us that the Holy Spirit is sent to us in his name, in the name of Jesus. In this verse, note that it adds, when it says the Holy Spirit is coming, it says, I will send another. It's critical to understand what that word another means. Because the word another in this verse, it means another of equal quality. You esteem Jesus Christ in your lives with your love and your passion for Jesus. Do we have that same value in the Holy Spirit? Because he's equal. That's what the word another means. Equal with him. This is the way that we're supposed to be. This is the way we're supposed to be with Jesus, because with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was sent in Jesus' place. The Holy Spirit, that verse says, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' representative here on earth. It says the Holy Spirit is acting on behalf of Jesus. Now, we all understand the power that is in the name of Jesus. Let me just look at this real quick from Philippians chapter 2, verse number 10. We all understand it, but I just want you to see this so you can get it in your mind as we continue talking about this. Because the Holy Spirit is sent in place of Jesus. He's Jesus' representative. He's acting on Jesus' behalf. Here's the power that's in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things of earth, things under the earth. This is just saying that it doesn't matter. Every knee bows to the name of Jesus. That's the power that's in the name of Jesus. Well, the Holy Spirit came in Jesus' place as Jesus' representative, acting on behalf of Jesus. So that power that you saw in Jesus Christ when he was walking as a man on this earth, that supernatural power, that is the same power that emanates and flows through us. It's the same power that operates. It's the same supernatural power that operates through you and I, because the Holy Spirit is in us and flowing through us. When you speak the word of God and you speak it in faith, you're allowing the power of the Holy Spirit. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to operate and flow through you with the power of Jesus Christ, whose name is above every other name, and every knee must bow to it. This is the power that is in us. This is part of the ministry of presence. The Holy Spirit being the presence of Jesus Christ dwelling inside of us. Okay, go down one more verse. Verse number 17. Again, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see him or know or recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. When Jesus said this, he wasn't yet in us. He's now in us. But I love the fact that in the Amplified, I love that. It's only in the Amplified you see this. In the Amplified, it kind of focuses on that word, welcome. Welcoming the Holy Spirit. The world itself can't welcome the Holy Spirit, because the world has not yet accepted, those in the world haven't accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. So their spirits have not been made new creations in salvation. The world can't welcome the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. But you know what? That doesn't mean that we always are welcoming the Holy Spirit. He's in our spirit. But that doesn't mean that we are every day welcoming the Holy Spirit from our spirit into our heart, into our soul. What's the soul? We've talked about this before. The soul is the door. It's the door from the Spirit, so the things of the Spirit will flow through your soul, which is your mind, your thoughts, your intellect, your personality, your will. It's your making the choice. Your soul is that essence of who you are that is eternal, and it has to decide if it's going to believe the things of the Spirit and allow that door, it's the door to open up, so the things, the Holy Spirit in you, can flow through you. Too many times in the body of Christ, We all fall into this. But too many times, we've seen believers who don't include the Holy Spirit into their daily lives. In other words, they're not welcoming the Holy Spirit from their spirit. He's always in there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Holy Spirit is always in my spirit. But if I'm not welcoming Him from my spirit, if my soul is not welcoming Him, I'm closing the door on the flow of the Holy Spirit. This is why so many believers, the result is they get frustrated because they don't see the power of God moving and evidenced in their lives. And they wonder, God, where are you? How come I don't see things changing? It's because we have to allow. We have to be the ones that open up the door for the Holy Spirit to flow through us. We have to be the ones. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit in you is acting on behalf of Jesus Christ for your benefit, for your good. We need to welcome Him in our souls. And when we do that, we will see the same power that we saw when Jesus was in this flesh. That's the same power that we will see operating through us. We can expect for the impossible to take place because this is the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, let's go down and look at, let's move ahead a couple chapters. Let's look at John chapter 16. I'm going to look specifically at verse number 13. I want you to go back and look at these verses because I'm just giving you highlights from these verses. I mean, there's a lot. Like in this verse, I'm only going to look at one phrase from this verse, but there's a lot that's in this verse. If you go through the book of John and look at the things that he does to introduce, Jesus does to introduce the Holy Spirit to you, I mean, the depth that you get of understanding of what Jesus is trying to say. And this is just looking at the introduction to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to look at one verse from Galatians, but we're not even looking at the rest of what the New Testament tells us about the power of the Holy Spirit moving. This is just the introduction to the Holy Spirit. And you can already feel that smoking flax. You can feel that breath of God just making that flame revive and reignite within us. So John 16, 13 says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Look at that last verse, that last phrase from that verse. He will show you things to come. That is awesome. He will show you things that haven't even taken place yet for your benefit. He will show you things to come so you can prepare for them. He will show you things to come. That is awesome. How many of us live that way? You know, unfortunately, most of us don't really enjoy or grab hold of that blessing. And partly it's because we haven't gotten to fully know. We haven't really gotten to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Because again, it's easy for us to be reserved in the Holy Spirit because we're more comfortable with the Father and the Son than we are with the Holy Spirit. We can't be reserved regarding the Holy Spirit. This is His ministry of presence within you, His ministry of presence with power. I had a woman just this week called me, and she was telling me this story. She said that, this is a mom, she said that she had this dream. And in this dream, there was this man looking to attack, an evil man looking to attack her and her daughter. And she said she knew it was demonic because she said she could look in his eyes, and his eyes were just demonic. She knew this was a demonic attack. And the next day, her 4-year-old daughter was hesitant to go to bed that night. And she was pursuing why and said, well, why are you procrastinating? And she said, I don't want to dream about that evil man that wants to hear us, that wants to hurt us. And so the mom asked, and here this daughter, 4-year-old daughter, had the same dream, the same vision. Now, God doesn't show us things for us to have fear. Here's what the mom did. The mom prayed for that little girl right then. She prayed over them. That little girl was perfectly peaceful night's sleep. Didn't give it another thought. Mom, perfectly peaceful. Nothing has happened. They're all fine. God doesn't show us these things. Here's what happens. Sometimes we'll get a dream like that, and we give ourselves over to fear. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? No, God shows us those things because it's His ministry of presence. He's in us, and we have the power that's in Him. He showed the mom this so that the mom could pray against that. She was proactive against whatever that is because the Holy Spirit showed her something to come. She boldly stood in the Word of God, prayed about that. Her daughter slept perfectly peaceful. She slept perfectly peaceful. And here's what happened. the enemy's plans were foiled before he even had a chance to initiate them. He couldn't even begin it because they were already defeated, because the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. I mean, that's just an example from this week. How many things in your life can you think of? And how many more is the Holy Spirit trying to tell us and show us things? And I don't just mean to show us things because, you know, something bad's coming. He will show us things. I've told you that Donna and I have numerous prophetic words that have been spoken over us. And over the years, we've seen those things come into place. And even now, we see some of those things being fulfilled now, years later, sometimes 20 years, sometimes 25 years after they were spoken to us. We see those things. Well, what is that? That was the Holy Spirit showing us things to come way back then so that we could prepare for it and that we could move forward in faith in it. The Holy Spirit shows you things to come for a variety of reasons. Next week, I told you guys this before, Jim Pinkelman's preaching next week while Don and I are in Israel. It was like back in late spring, early summer, Don and I were sitting just during a service. We were doing praise and worship. I wasn't thinking about anything. It's like spring and summer. I wasn't thinking about when I was leaving for Israel. Just praising God with all the rest of you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it was very clear. The Holy Spirit said, when you need someone to fill your pulpit, ask Jim Pinkelman. I thought, oh, okay, well, that's cool. I got up. I gave my message. Message was done. Same service, same day. Service is over. Jim Pinkelman walks up to me and says, you know what? God told me to tell you that when you need someone to fill your pulpit, I'm to make myself available. It's like, I know, Jim. God just told me that 55 minutes ago. The Holy Spirit, my point is the Holy Spirit in our lives will show us things to come. It's his ministry of presence. The Holy Spirit is the ministry of presence, the presence of Jesus Christ inside of us. These are the things that should excite us. What are some of the other things that I should expect because the Holy Spirit is in me? I can't give you all that, but here's a really good clue to look into. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is those verses that talk to us about the fruit of the Spirit. This is talking about because of the ministry of presence, because the Holy Spirit is in you, these are the qualities that are in you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these, there is no such law. All of these qualities, every one of these qualities is in you. Because these are the qualities of God Himself. They're in you. They're in your spirit because He's in your spirit. And you might say to yourself, yeah, well, that's not me. You know what? I don't feel those things. I don't feel joy. I don't feel peace in my life right now. And I'm not going to pretend to be joyful just, you know, to pretend for the sake of making other believers feel good about things. I'm not going to pretend. I don't feel joy. I don't feel peace. Well, the reality is, the spiritual reality, joy and peace are in you. The very joy of Jesus Christ is in you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, loosely in the Amplified Bible, loosely it says that Jesus' joy, he was anointed with joy that was above all of his fellows. In other words, the joy that was in Jesus Christ was a joy that was greater than anyone else. When you walked into a room where there's a lot of people in Jesus, here's how you found Jesus. That's where people were laughing and having a good time and joyous. We think of Jesus as always being stoic. No, he was joy. The joy of Jesus is what's in you. So I can say I don't feel joy, but the reality is, His joy is in you. It's in you right now. Question is, am I going to open up the door and allow that joy? Will my soul open up the door and allow that joy that is in my spirit to come forward? What's the door that opens up? Again, it's your soul, your will. That's what opens up the door to allow the Holy Spirit that is in my spirit to flow through me and to change the circumstances of my life. It's the things of the spiritual realm, which I'm connected to because Holy Spirit is in my spirit. My soul, my will, opens the door and allows all of those spiritual truths and spiritual power, spiritual realities to flow through me, and it changes the dynamics of my physical world. It changes those things because the things of the spiritual realm are greater than the things of the natural realm. The things of the natural realm have to submit and have to obey when we stand in faith. Will we welcome the Holy Spirit from our spirits, through our souls? Will we welcome the Holy Spirit into our souls and through us? That's the question. Again, I can say, well, I don't feel joy, so I'm not going to pretend because that makes me a hypocrite. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and pretend to be joyous. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, in this physical realm, you probably don't feel joy. But you're only experiencing the feelings that you have in this natural realm. There's a greater reality, and that greater reality is the spiritual reality. The truth is, that joy of Jesus Christ that we just talked about, which was a joy greater than anyone else's, that's the joy that is within you. And so I can say that, well, I'll be a hypocrite if I just show joy when I don't feel it. I would say that I'm being a spiritual hypocrite. Because what I'm doing, if I choose to say, well, I don't feel joy, so I'm not going to express it. I don't feel peace in my life, so I'm not going to pretend at all. What you're saying is you're choosing to live in and believe the natural, the physical. It may be true, but it's not the greatest truth. You get to make the choice. Will you welcome the Holy Spirit, who is in your spirit, from your spirit, through your soul, into you? If you will do that, you're going to have that joy. All of a sudden, that joy. You may not feel it when you start, but when you start praising God, it's going to come out of you. I've told you guys before, I'm sure, the story when I was really struggling. Man, I don't have depression very often. This is like 20 years ago. Man, I was struggling. I mean, I was overwhelmed. It was blackness and hopelessness. And I had to go drive from, we were living in Perrysburg. I had to drive from Perrysburg down to Lima. And it felt like waves. I didn't know how I could get through. I couldn't even think about the next 10 minutes, let alone tomorrow. That's how bad I felt. So I didn't feel any joy at all. But I knew that it was imperative for me to start praising God. And I'll tell you what, when I started to praise God, look, it was just going through the motions. There was no praise. I mean, it was like, Jesus, I praise you for whatever. You know, I didn't know what it was. But there is something about the act of praising Jesus. Once I started to praise him, literally within 15 seconds, I'm not kidding, 15 seconds, all of a sudden, I do feel that praise coming up. And I am praising him genuinely because the Holy Spirit's bringing to my mind all the things that I'm thankful for. And I'm praising him with joy and happiness. And within 10 minutes, all of that depression that had been on me for like 3 days was gone, totally. And that turned out to be one of the greatest moments of me seeing God use me as I was driving down. I had started that whole thing by being self-absorbed and depressed. By the time I didn't even get there, I got a chance to help and stop someone who was stopped on the roadside, eventually led she and her daughter to Christ. That was a person who was depressed and feeling sorry for himself when he got in the car 45 minutes before. And you could say, well, you were just being a hypocrite when you were praising God because you didn't feel praise. No, that is me acknowledging that in the natural I may not feel praise, but I know there's joy. The joy of the Holy Spirit is in here. And so I'm going to start praising him. That's my soul, my will, opening the door and saying, Holy Spirit, come on in, because your reality is greater than this reality. And I want your joy, and that joy displaces the depression, the discouragement, all that was going on. Will we welcome the Holy Spirit from our spirits into our soul and through us? This is all part of the things that Jesus is showing us as he's introducing to the disciples and making that introduction so we would understand who the Holy Spirit is. And again, when he was saying these things, the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come to reside. He now resides within us. These things that he talked about, these are truths and realities for you and I every day of our lives. This is what's for us. So when I come back in 2 weeks, we'll continue looking at Jesus making that introduction to us of the Holy Spirit. But between now and then, I mean this sincerely. Stop and just think about, not here, but just sometime during the week, just stop and think about the beyond belief reality of Jesus Christ himself dwelling in you. I mean, that should stun us and amaze us every time we think about it. It's his ministry of presence within you at all times. Think about that. Think about what that means. And, you know, when you think about the Holy Spirit, and you think about the Holy Spirit in Jesus, when Jesus was flesh, the full glory of God was contained in the flesh of Jesus Christ. There was none of the glory of God that was excluded. All of the glory of God was contained in the flesh of Jesus Christ. This is a reminder to us that all the fullness of God does dwell right now inside of you. We should live out the fullness of that glory of God, that power of God that's in us because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for what you've showed us, what you've taught us. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are the one. Jesus, in the same way that as Mia and Annie were just needed to look in the eyes of mom and dad, and they saw eyes that loved them and wanted them to succeed, we can look into your eyes, and you love us, and you want to see us succeed in everything that we do. We thank you and praise you for that. Let your presence become a greater reality in us, because we want to be on a daily basis welcoming you from our spirit. We don't want to contain you there. We want to welcome you from our spirit through our soul and through our lives. To your glory, we praise you and thank you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.